Jenny says, that's Disney. Actually, Disney stole that from Close Encounters. That's from the theme from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Just a little taste of where we're going this morning. We're going to talk about having a close encounter of the God kind. In that moment when God kisses us. It happened at the beginning of the 16th century when the Spanish Inquisition was in full swing that Jesus appeared in the town of Seville. One day before, 100 people would be burned on the stake for being so-called heretics, said Ivan to his brother Alyosha in Dostoevsky's beautiful book, The Brothers Karamazov. I saw you frown, Peter, and you thought, when did that happen? It's the story of two boys, Ivan, an atheist, and Alyosha, a Christ follower. And just in the moment in this book, there's this surreal moment where Ivan starts telling Alyosha this story about the day that Jesus appeared in this little town of Seville, where they were persecuting, the church was persecuting and killing people. So said Ivan to Alyosha, he says, when Jesus arrived in Seville, the ordinary people immediately recognized Jesus, and they were so happy to see him. And Jesus did so many miracles, and he healed so many people. So they asked him, please come back tomorrow. So the next day he was there again, and he was standing on the steps of the cathedral again doing miracles and healing people. And all of a sudden there's this hush, because the cardinal of Seville, a very cruel man, and his soldiers appeared. And when the folks saw the cardinal, they all fell on the ground and had their faces to the ground, because they knew that this cardinal, by his word, could have you killed just like that. And said Ivan to Alyosha, he says, he just lifted his little finger, and the soldiers went and they took Jesus prisoner and they took him to jail. That evening, the cardinal decided to go visit Jesus in jail. As he walked in, the first thing that he said to him is, why did you come back? Don't you know that we don't need you anymore? Don't you know that the church is doing okay without you? Don't you know that I am God's mouthpiece now? And when I say die, they die. And when I say live, they live. Why did you come back? And before Jesus could answer him, he just went on with his tirade. And then he ended his little tirade by saying, and tomorrow I'm going to kill 100 heretics, and I'm going to kill one extra, and that's going to be you. I'll burn you on the stake for a heretic. Said Ivan, through all of this, Jesus said nothing. And then he did the strangest thing. He got up, and he walked to the cardinal, and he put his arms around him, and he kissed him. And in that moment, said Ivan, the cardinal went pale. And you could see that he was shaken. And he was shaking too. And he turned around from Jesus and he walked to the doors and he flung the doors open and he turned around and looked at Jesus and he says, get out! Get out of this town and never come back! And Jesus walked out of Seville. Alyosha was quite stunned that his brother, an atheist, would tell him this story. So he said, so tell me, Ivan, the cardinal, was his life changed after this, after encountering Jesus and meeting Jesus? And Alyosha says he looked at Ivan, and Ivan had this sad face, and he said, no, he never changed. So against this little story backdrop, I would like to talk to you this morning about having a close encounter of the God kind. Experiencing God up close and personal. And what that means and what that does to us in our lives. Because isn't this true for those of us who are Christ followers? We always live in this tension. On the one hand, there's this peace and this knowledge that I belong to the Lord and I'm in the Lord's hand and I'm taken care of. And then on the other hand, there's this need for, I need more of God. Do I have enough of God? Kind of like Psalm 42, like the deer pants for the water and the stream, so I pant for the Lord. Or to put it in another way. On the one hand, I see God for who He is. I see His grace and I see His saving grace in my life. But on the other hand, I see myself in my messiness and my brokenness and my need. Martin Luther, when he read Romans, he had this beautiful phrase that he coined, simul justus et peccator. There's a slide for that. It means simultaneously justified or being made righteous, but also sinner at the same time. And that's the dichotomy in which we live, isn't it? This simul justus et peccator. I'm justified, but I'm sinner. And as we live in this struggle, how do we encounter God? How does God come close to us? To help us with that, I'm going to take you to a story that all of you know so well. You've read it a million times. I've preached on it in this church before. It comes from Luke chapter 15. It starts in verse 11, but I'm not going to start reading there. It's the story, in our Bible, it says the story of the father and the two sons. I like to call it the story of God. A close encounter of the God kind story. So you know how it starts in verse 11. There's this youngest son who decides to declare his father dead. Because that's what you do when you go to your father and say, can I have my part of the inheritance? Because you actually only inherit when the other person is dead. So this young man goes to his dad and he says, I want my stuff. So actually, dad, you're dead for me. Turns his back on his dad, turns his back on the house, and he goes away to a strange country, and he just messes it all up and squanders everything that he has, messes up his whole life, and you know where he ended up? He ended up in a mess himself, in a pigsty, sitting with the pigs and wanting to eat their food. What a terrible way for a Jewish boy. But then something happens. So read with me, verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, so make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. And as he stands here before the Father, and by now you know in the story that the Father is the image of God. The Son is an image of each one of us. As this child stands before his Father, Jesus is going to show us God's heart. And Jesus will answer the question this morning, how close does God get to us? So we can have a close encounter of the God kind. So let's read the next verse. We're going to read it line by line. So he said, I'll go to my father. And he went, and so he got up and went to his father. And then, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. This is an amazing image of God that we read so often in the Bible. It starts like that in Genesis. God made and God saw that it was good. God saw his people in Egypt and heard their cries. God saw Moses. God saw Abraham. God saw us. And for some people, that's a scary thought that God can see them. Gori, can you remember when we grew up? I'm sure in the Netherlands too. We had a picture, the brede and the smalle weg. The narrow and the wide road, and it had these two roads, but at the top of this picture, there was this huge eye that was looking down on all of this, and that was so scary, because this eye was seeing everything, and that's the image that some people have of God when they hear, God sees me. It's this image of God's going to judge, because that's why he's looking at me. Can I tell you something? When God sees you, it's quite the opposite of judging. It's quite the opposite of judging. When God sees Israel in their struggle in Egypt, does He judge them? When God sees that little baby crying, does God judge him? When God sees His son, that's the only time He judged for us, so He would never judge again. For you see, when God sees, and I've said this to you before, it's always followed by an action. He doesn't just see and say, oh yeah, and then God's gone. When God sees, God's seeing always turns into an action. Let me show you this. You see it throughout Jesus' ministry. When God sees this boy, messed up as he is, God doesn't look past him and say, yeah, I don't even want to see you. You left. You messed it up. I'm done with you. Just looking all over the place. God also doesn't look at him and say, I see you in your messiness. You smell like a pig. I want nothing to do with you. When God looks at this boy and God sees him, He sees this boy for exactly who he is. God's son. God's child. That's how God sees you. That's how God sees me. Because God has a heart. A heart that can be broken. A heart that can cry and weep with us. A heart that can be melted when a broken child stands before his father. And God sees me. There's always an action. So let me show you the action. And Grace, I'm not going to read there. You're going to put it up there. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And here's the action of God seeing. And the father was filled with compassion for him. I'm going to teach you a little bit of Greek today. And I've taught you about this word before. I actually did a whole sermon on this. But let's refresh our minds again. The word for compassion in Greek is the word splachnitsomai. Splachna is another word for heart. They have a word in Greek for heart. It's called cardia. And you know the word cardia because you talk about cardiac arrest in a cardiologist. It comes from the Greek word cardia, heart. But splachnitsomai, when you speak of that inner part of the heart, where they say where my whole being is, that which moves me, which creates me into the person that I am, they call that the splachna. So when he talks about splachnitsomai, it speaks about that inner being of God that is touched. When God sees you, when God sees me, God splachnitsomais. There's an involuntary action of compassion and love and care and wanting to hold and wanting to be there for you. When God sees, God can't help it. God wants to say, Janie, I love you. And He wants to hold Janie. And He wants to say, I see you for exactly who you are, Jane. My child, washed like that little dude every day of your life. That's what happens when the Father sees. The compassion. Look at Jesus' life when He teaches. Mark chapter 1, when He sees the leper, go read that. He's filled with splachnitsomai, with compassion. And He changes that man's life because he can't help it. That's God. When He sees that widow of Nain lose her child and the child dies, He can't help. He has to help. Splachnitsomai happens in His heart. When He sits there on the mountain and He sees all these people who are hungry and they're like sheep without a shepherd. It says He had compassion. Splachnitsomai, His heart just jumped in Him. When you come to your Father, and you stand before your Father, He's not doing this. He's taking His heart out and He's just putting His heart out there and says, it's yours. I love you. I have compassion for you. Book of Hosea, when he starts, he says, I will not have compassion with you, because he's angry at him. And it ends in Hosea chapter 14. In you alone will the fatherless find And the Hebrew word ruchama, the Greek word splachnitsumai, compassion. Because that's God's being. But there's a third thing that happens, and Grace put it up again and we'll read it. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and he was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son. Remember I told you about this? When you look at God, God never runs. This first time in the Bible that you read about God running. You never see God running. God sits on his throne. That's where you always find God on the throne. In Revelation 4, as we spoke about last week, Isaiah chapter 7, beautiful. That moment when Jacob's dreaming in the ladder, where's God? He's sitting on the throne. But when you look at God in this picture, God is running. But he's not running away because this kid is smelling like a pig. He's running towards this kid who's smelling like a pig. Because it's his child. And his heart is with his child. And remember what I told you about running. It's still like that today, if I'm not mistaken. John, you can help me. But in the ancient Middle East, and in the Middle East, grown-up men don't run. It's not dignified. Because if you want to run, you have to pick up your robes and you show your knees. And you are not supposed to show your knees in public. But this father doesn't care about that stuff. When this father sees his child, and he knows his child needs, this father picks it up, and this father could care less about dignity. This father runs towards the child because that's who he is. My father. He's filled with goodness and compassion for me. But the climax of the story is the last little bit, and let's read that piece. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and he was filled with compassion for his son, and he ran towards his son, and look at this, and he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. What an amazing image. Can I teach you another Greek word this morning? The Greek word for kiss is katephilesen. Katephilesen. Two words. It's the word kata and the word phileo. You know the word phileo, Philadelphia. Philosophy means love. Kata means according to. Katephilesen, according to love. When you kiss someone, you act according to love. What a beautiful image. When I kiss my wife, when my wife kisses me, I act according to love. This little dude that I baptized this morning, I can never stop kissing him. Because I love him so much, I often say, I'm going to kiss you up, little guy. Because I just can't help it, because I love him so much, I just want to kiss him all the time. And that's what God does to a child that comes to him smelling like a pig. He puts his arms around me, and he kisses me on the lips. He acts according to love. That's what we call a close encounter of the God kind. When I come to my Father, that's what he does. He does that to the seekers and the strugglers and those who have turned their backs on him, those who don't believe in him, those who have run away, those who don't know. In a moment, when I stand before him, just comes up, he takes me, and God kisses me. And he acts according to love, for that is who my God is. For when he sees me, he's wearing the glasses of the blood of Jesus Christ that sees me cleansed and washed. When he sees me, his heart is moved, and he cares for me compassionately. When he sees me, he acts according to love. So the story ends, and it's up there, Grace. The boy still wants to make all kinds of excuses, and the son said to him, Father, but I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let's have a feast and celebrate, for this child of mine was dead and is alive again. This child was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. For that's how the Father works. He celebrates when I run to Him, when I come to Him. That's a close encounter of the God kind. One question. Will you allow God to kiss you today? Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for taking time for us this morning. And as we came to you and stood before you today, thank you for seeing us. Thank you for having compassion, running, putting your arms around us and kissing us. We love you, Lord. Thank you for coming close in Jesus, your Son. Amen.